Thank you for coming. Can you hear me? Yeah. It's so nice to read with Courtney and Halan also, and nice to get to know them. I'm especially thankful to Susan and Jennifer and Eric and Peter for their kindness and so welcoming me, and also to my students who have made all the difference, so thank you. I'm going to read a new poem, well, new-ish, and it's in 18 sections, so you can count. It's about a man painting a mural. On the painting of the view, one, I could not make him come to me. A dozen times the fresco dried before I made the face I'd kiss, my father, standing in the middle of the marsh, the wing slung low at his feet, one pink hand against his hip. We'd met again in early spring. Dead trees rose like sticks where eventually owls would nest. The flowers were purple tufts. The flowers struck us like props. We were there and not there all at once. Red swans were gliding in random patterns, knocking their plumage against one another and occasionally dipping their beaks, breaking the viscous sheen. We'd gone beneath the leaves so that the rain never got to us. We knew how it felt, this feeling before a dream, knowing a thing we could never touch. Two. Above the mural, the skyline measured only an inch. In the foreground, I was painting an onion dome, craning my neck, dozing in and out of sleep. I heard a far-off voice. Do not trust the horse, or was it house? Onion, omen, omen, onion floated up and out of the loamy earth. Below, only the gardener's red emperors in a row. Only an iron mobile made of sharp-jawed fish hung above me heavy on the Wednesday sky. Occasionally, a high-pitched creak. Soon, though, the afternoon storm beat out dusk. This is the way I know you will leave me, I heard in the early gust. Three. Just past six and saffron threads tick in the ruddy angles of incoming light, increasing in width as they cross the waves, slow, steady, and otherwise black. On the board where I stand to paint, a curled frond is resting by my foot. My lantern light is now past pale, but still I'm stuck on the intricate work of the bees, wing nets, their tiny feet folded up for flight, circling, circling the laurel tree. And yet as ominous as they once were, I have my doubts. The watchdogs rest in their holes. On the beach below me, my friend is wading out into the oncoming tide. He stops. He turns a blue bucket around at his waist as he scoops out eels for us later to eat. Four. Yes, I have said I will stay. On the silky grass beside the yard-wide cattail strip, while swallows dart, while the same heron keeps bending its knee, yes, I'll agree. In front of the hills we've wandered in already, I'll paint this wall a mural to remind us of the past. For rest, one small cot. For 14 hours a day, just green. Despite the sea on which I'd arrived, field was the only place I knew. To paint this meant daubing the paint, sweeping away the milkweed dander where it piled at the base. The men who settled there watched. They hummed as I worked, and occasionally, on thin white papers from cigarette trash, they handed me up their written requests. Five. I never sent a single note. It was March. We were forward going, or so it felt. The ice on the river had long melted, and unusually subdued were the dips where the eddies more often stirred. On the surface, dulled depressions shined like swollen fingerprints. Make something, I thought. But the brown river just sat and was not worth following yet. Sleep kept the work enough apart. It was spring. I was to be married the moment I made it back. Cells multiplied on the branch tips, all crevice rife and lull. Below the scaffolding, tulip bulbs swelled. White petals brushed up by the wind kept on reminding me, confetti. 6. I heard in the earliest gusts get up, and fast I rose, but not fast enough to shake the dream. 3 ships ticking to an eerie swelling of bells. 3 Nordic ships, but cartoons. It was a fleet of fat toys afloat at the end of the world, edges all overlapping so that as long as we watched, heads propped up over the promenade wall, even sleeping, I knew. I heard in the gust get up and I rose. It was the part in the mural where the tall ships approach and the mast tips must inch one past the other so as to look real in stealing inland. I had painted thin grass blades tangled in courtyard stone. For tiny petals on moss beds, I chose the same periwinkle shade as for the sliver of moon. Dolphins cut the tide in the distance. But here the paint is blending so that the mass dark shade runs into the blues from the sky and the sea, and everything feels effortful. The light was blinding. Get up, and I stood. Wheaten and indigo, all day the color I dreamed of the sea stayed with me. 7. Our history was not at all unusual. Intruders versus natives, and the hero whose fate it is to find a new home. Bored by the battle scene and dreading the work, I tried a new technique. My men were quick, spreading the resinous pitch on the plaster so that later my oils would stick. Later, we'd light a fire while the wall dried, eat eels from the morning catch, and dance. I'd obsessed over all the old systems for us versus them, for arranging the heads and the horses of the combatants diagonally spaced out by the lines of their shafts. I had to think fast. Lines of horses and men, men and horses, and behind them lightning to crack the dark sky. I started in slowly, up front where one of the men sits eating soup and a long pale gun rests across his knees. 8. One moonbeam bounced. Light on the helmet of the boy was all it took to betray him. Far left side of the scene, under night, otherwise thick with shadows, otherwise ink all over the forest mossy floor. He'd gone to help, but first had begged to tell them to tell his mother if. He'd gone to help, but first had begged the men to tell his mother if, and so to comfort her when he was gone. Buckets full of tulip petals stored in the back corner of the shed were for the funeral march much later on. On the right side of the scene, the heavy fingers of the mother, still hot from her loom as she cries for her son, as she curses herself for forgetting the cloth she had woven to cover him down into the earth. Now, it was also obvious. 9. My mother wrote to tell me disease took the oak outside the back door. This morning, the men handed me the note. The snowdrops this morning were new. She's gathered the branches, scraped, and found them not light enough at least. So she's waiting for me to return, and she will keep them. I do the work I must. I paint the soldiers planting branches around the bodies, and from these they hang helmets, breastplates, chain link, and swords. Then light from that silver catches the sun, turns, and gleams. There is not a song soft enough. There is nothing, neither mullein nor wool nor snow, soft enough, we know. My mother is waiting with the branches cool, wrapped in wax paper, and she will keep them. 10. My men climbed up to get at the sound they thought was an errant wind working, high up against the scaffolding, the pitch of whining tin. There I was. Their eyes went everywhere. Their long teeth shone in the sun. Yes, I will stay, I'd said, hoping they'd go. But the impasse only extended as I showed them the ochre flowers smoldering the far-off knoll, the fish shining in the narrow river, and then the mountain fragments inserted around the battle scene. It was true that I would stay. Behind us, the pale sky pressured the sea's much longer run. 11. The battle scene should be cleared of bodies blocking the field. Help will have to be arrive in taking the stump down to the ground. What do you call the problem of losing words on the way to your throat? They'll have to hire men to grind it down, then wait for the root to disintegrate, malnourished then, for the roots to turn into earth, for the loam to let the roots back in. Where is the quill, the lantern, the desk of oak? My letters home sound like a lump of coal, a wing that has shut too fast, stones too deep in mud to uncover the tunnels dug by the ants. I just put on pants and a shirt in the morning, just raise my feet when it feels right to walk, open my mouth to hope for words. Soon men will be hired to help with the stump. Wind will press on the small of my back as I work fitting bodies back in the earth. I promise you somehow I'll get home soon. Just wait. 12. In the afternoons, my profile stretches, the wind so full of ocean salt, it stings. My men insist upon siesta, leaving me up here alone. I speak loudly out into the open coast, practicing the marriage toast they'll make me. I mimic shipwreck, gesturing wildly each time I catch the slightest shadow from an arm. I hold my cup palm high up away from me and imagine the pulse of my love. Imagine my speech would be so eloquent if not for the gulls, if not for the wind cornered there in the reeds. I have the body of a king. My chest still puffs when I think of it. 13. In the ultramarine my men had crushed from lapis lazuli, I finished the sheen edging the long sword blades as they hung from the branches as they blew in the breeze on the field where the battle had been, where now I put daisies, cowslip, and heather. It was best here alone in the afternoon. Above the horizon, I kept the clouds small, low, and distinct. I edged them in black with the pressed grapevine dye we used in the mornings to lay out the scenes. To the middle, I mixed an almost blue drop, hoping to hint at a chance from the past to lead to the joy in the last banquet scene. It is true I should have sent a note, I know. It wasn't that it was better here studying sugar beets to get at the shade of the sky at dusk, but there was something I was that wouldn't give up. 14. There was no time to wait. The day was a blade through the sky, sheets of purple color draping beneath the trees. It's Thursday, and the task is going over the edges of certain petals so the scene is brighter where corners fall in. Under the sky, the world could depart piecemeal in block-sized scenes is how I imagine the day, how I feel the cheeks on my face like walls. The mural had to end in just 2 feet. I move away as if there were a force that might let me, as if somewhere nearby, a circular piece of earth, meadow, a clearing, or anywhere where the woods hold back and the sky keeps still enough for dream. 15. I titled it In Memory of, and everybody knew. I'd studied most the path away from fact, the line of men heading downhill, leaving what they'd hoped was home. From here, dark elbows against the sun, an ant line's narrow track along the edge of cliff, white flowers in patches of moss, dark sea roots. They walked hauling sacks, the circular moon rose, wind hit their faces in fat swells. On the far side of the delta, the harbor holding their fleet. Inches under the water, color of gun sheen, color of grass, a school of bony fish, sweep unknown to them. My marriage would be an error, and everybody knew. Still, we passed the time with wondering into how many shapes a body could go. 16. Don't touch them, they are dirty, is the sound of a sister repeating what she remembers from her mother to the younger one, whom now she feels privileged to watch over, who now stoops down to reach for the feather beside the smaller pebbles, pieces of seaweed, and driftwood scraps where once the water had been. Soon the sound of the waves overwhelms them, and again I turn to the hills. The mural is almost done. And if ever you've had to finish a job when you are sad, even to imagine methods of finishing, then you know. It is fine to be mesmerized, to count repeatedly the time it takes one wave to move from its full height to the far-off point where foam soaks into the sand and then leaves. 17. A group of greyhounds lope at dusk. Their bones shine. The leaves on the blue trees, aluminum brittle, shook foil for the sea below, where loosed ship joints clutter and swell. Around the sea-blackened boards, packets of seed have been spilled on the waves. Above this scene, my mother is the angel, teasing me from her place at the top of the trees. Patches of wind toss the hard grass so my shins get scratched. The dog's hot breath hits in gusts the size of nails. Clouds thicken, clouds splice down far-off mountainsides no one sees. The surface of the ocean is heavy. The surface is a ruin that breathes. Still, the circumference of my arms isn't yet wide enough. Mother, don't taunt me. I'm still so far from home. 18. 3 weeks have passed and the buds on the tulip tree have grown visible inches, bloomed, and soon will fall. I thought of the flowers lining the drive to school, the same pink color falling on the tin roof outside a bedroom window at home. Two gull feathers dropped in the surf and floated along in tandem as my men and I went on. It is as if we should have imagined them better, these pieces, the feathers from the wing, lifted up by the waves and gently put down onto the shore. Thank you.